This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. The popular image of Connecticut is of wealthy suburbs and upscale schools and large, lavish homes on the state's Gold Coast. Towns like Greenwich have a median income of more than $100,000 a year. But there's another Connecticut, too. Beyond Greenwich, there's Bridgeport. That's the state's largest and poorest city. Today we begin a series explaining poverty on the Gold Coast, and we're going to begin in Bridgeport. This was once a thriving industrial center. Its recent story has been full of factory closings and jobs lost and crime and drugs and poverty. A familiar story that Bridgeport is struggling to change. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
I'm driving around Bridgeport with city librarian and historian Mary Witowski, who's pointing out the area P.T. Barnum developed in the 19th century and the factories for sewing machines, aircraft, and armaments that once dominated this city.
Here's the plant I'm talking about. It's gigantic. It's the Remington Arms. The corridors are so long that in World War I that the messengers used to use roller skates to go back and forth and bicycles from one end to the other.
But this Remington Arms factory, at least 30 buildings each half a mile long, is almost vacant. Like many other eastern industrial cities, factories went south in the 1960s and then overseas. Today, fewer than one in five Bridgeport workers has a job in manufacturing. The same thing happened in other Connecticut cities, but some were able to reinvent themselves, like Stamford, which became a center for insurance and financial services. Other poorer cities had their specialties, Hartford, the state government. New Haven has Yale and is a center for culture. Bridgeport hasn't had those advantages. And like the other poor cities, it is burdened by a government and a tax structure that leaves each community to fend for itself. The city also has a history of corruption and graft. The former mayor, Joseph Ganim, was convicted of bribery and racketeering and went to jail. The current mayor is John Fabrizi.
There's been the old cliche that was out there when I came into office that you have to pay to play in Bridgeport.
Because in other words, money under the table, graft.
That was the perception. Yes, it was.
The truth?
That was the truth in certain areas.
Mayor Fabrizi says he grew up hearing that Fairfield County was the richest county in America.
We happen to be at the tail of Fairfield County. We happen to be the forgotten municipality in Fairfield County.
When you speak to the mayor or the historian, they believe the city is coming back. The population is two-thirds minority, but that means diversity. And they say now even suburbanites who would never come into the city are finding their way to the new ethnic restaurants that are springing up. And the city is courting development projects.
People thought they'd lose their car if they came and parked it anywhere in Bridgeport. That's not the case anymore, for sure.
Brian Langdon is the president and CEO of FSW, a large human services agency in Connecticut. He paints a nuanced picture of the city. New housing and offices, but underfunded schools where a third of the students drop out, a third of the public housing torn down and not replaced. Langdon says you can be a hard-working family and still have a very fragile economic life.
You have to earn $17, almost $18 an hour to be able to afford a $1,000 apartment a month. Minimum wage is $7.50. Average money that hardworking full-time people are getting is somewhere probably around $9 an hour. $10. It's a long way from $17.
Take Marta Calderon, a woman in her 50s and an activist in the Puerto Rican community. For the last 22 years, she has worked at the Port of Bridgeport. It was once a major shipbuilding center, but now most of the waterfront is an abandoned, toxic brownfield. Development plans have been on the drawing board for 10 years. Calderon dispatches the truckers who pick up pallets of bananas and pineapples that come by boat from Colombia and Costa Rica and are transported all over the U.S. and Canada.
I call it the banana boat because we have the company over there. You can't see it in the fog, but Turbana, and they bring a boat with 200,000 bananas every week or more. What are you picking up, do you know?
Yeah, bananas. Well,
when you see her at her job, she is definitely in control, businesslike, but warm and personable.
You're going to go to the warehouse on my left, see Eric. He'll tell you what door to back into after you are loaded. Come back here and sign out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Seeing her directing the truckers, you would never guess her own struggles. Her job has been cut back to 30 hours a week. Her salary of $21,000 a year doesn't cover rent, electricity, and the expenses of taking care of her 11-year-old grandson. not to mention paying $160 a month for 8 medications for diabetes and heart disease.
I have to decide whether I want to get my prescriptions or buy food for the table.
How often do you see a doctor?
Well, I go when I get real sick. She wanted to see me every 2 weeks because she said that I'm a ticking bomb, but it's a $20 copay.
Calderon had run out of her medicines 2 weeks earlier. Although she got a paycheck the day after I spoke to her, all that money was earmarked for urgent bills.
So I won't be able to get my medicine this week.
Calderon is often short of breath. She can't walk long distances. She has no car, and when a coworker can't drive her to work, she has to rely on Bridgeport's less than adequate system of public transportation. Marilyn Andrazik is the executive director of the Bridgeport Child Advocacy Coalition. She says 43% of the families in Calderon's neighborhood earn less than $20,000 a year, and yet the other Connecticut is right next door.
You can drive a mile from right here, and you can see folks whose incomes are well over $100,000 a year, and you can see all of the opportunities and advantages and lifestyle that they have. And the suburbs have put up walls.
And some of the working poor, like Calderon, are convinced that city officials and developers would like nothing more than to drive out poor families and bring in young, college-educated elites, as has happened in Connecticut cities like Norwalk.
They think we are pests. The working poor are pests.
What is it? The Tale of Two Cities.
Anthony Bennett is the senior pastor of the Mount Airy Baptist Church in Bridgeport, a very diverse congregation. On a weekday summer morning, the place is bustling with music and an academic camp for kids. The church also runs programs for racial awareness, and Reverend Bennett is convinced that racism is at the root of some of Bridgeport's problems.
Perhaps if the color, the skin color of the persons were a little different and more reflective of Fairfield County, some of the issues would be addressed, I believe, much differently.
Given the conditions in Bridgeport, Bennett sees activism as more important than prayer.
Perhaps the perception is we're talking about praising the Lord, going to heaven. No, you know, God will take care of the sweet by and by. We want to help in the nasty now and now.
The churches, like Reverend Bennett's, are definitely picking up some of the pieces. But the jury is still out on whether the attempts to revive and develop Bridgeport will help the working poor get ahead. Margo Adler, NPR News.
You can hear extended interviews from that story at our website, npr.org. Our series continues tomorrow with a look at Bridgeport schools.